Well, I want to look today at the Egypt that's in all of us. Pride leads to destruction. Another way the commentary would put it, comes before a disaster. A proud attitude brings ruin, or traditionally we've heard pride comes before a fall. 19, it is better to be humble and be with those who suffer or be with those who are needy than to share stolen property or divide plunder with the proud. Now of Moses, it was said, now Moses was very humble or devout. He was the least proud, and literally it says the most humble or most devout person on earth. This is from Numbers chapter 12, verse 3. And yet you're going to see Moses wasn't always that way. There's an episode in the scripture, though, where Aaron, his brother, and Miriam, his sister, had decided to exhibit their jealousy regarding their brother Moses, and God did not like it. He did not tolerate it because Moses was very special in his eyes. In fact, this is God now. God states, after Miriam and Aaron have spoken badly about Moses because of his wife, who was not Hebrew, God tells them, go out to the tabernacle, all three of you. Now, if it was our language today in this part of the country, we would probably say, go out to the woodshed. But God met them at the tabernacle. Go out to the tabernacle, all three of you. So the three of them went to the tabernacle, the three being Aaron, Miriam, and Moses. Then the Lord descended in the pillar of cloud and stood at the entrance of the tabernacle. Aaron and Miriam, he called, and they stepped forward. And the Lord said to them, now listen to what I say. If there were prophets among you, I, the Lord, would reveal myself in visions. I would speak to them in dreams, but not with my servant Moses. Of all my house, he is the one I trust. I speak to him face to face, clearly, and not in riddles. He sees the Lord as he is, so why were you not afraid to criticize my servant Moses? The Lord was very angry with them, and he departed. Numbers 12, 4 through 9. You're probably familiar with this story, but when the Lord departed, Miriam was covered with leprosy, a skin disease. She was unclean, meaning she would not be able to go back into the camp where the Hebrews were. She would have had to stay outside the camp. Aaron pleads with his brother, please, Moses, intercede on our behalf. Intercede on our sister's behalf. Ask God to remove the leprosy. So God does, but he says she will be unclean for a week, and then she can return to the camp. You're wondering, why didn't he do it to Aaron? The best I could come up with, Aaron had been named as high priest, and he did not do it simply for that reason, because somebody needed to be in that role. And Moses was actually, in a way, above that role at the time as God's prophet. But God was very angry. But that's not always how it was in Moses' life. I want to go back and help us see the humanity in Moses. He was human just like us. Here is a timeline of Moses' life. Moses, at birth, was spared because of the midwife's intercession. Exodus 2, verse 2, we are told of the fact that Pharaoh has decided the Hebrews have become too numerous in Egypt. It's been 400 years since Joseph was there, and Joseph helped rule and save Egypt. But 400 years have passed, the Hebrew nation has grown very large, and the Egyptians are afraid if war broke out, they would take over. So they made them slaves, and they worked them very severely. Moses comes along, he is born, and Pharaoh has issued an edict that all male children born to the Hebrews are to be killed. They're to be drowned in the river, all right? But these two midwives who are helping out constantly in delivery of children, and they're helping out with the Hebrew births, they do not do what has been ordered by Pharaoh. And God blesses them, and he gives them a family as a result, because they are protecting those children. Moses happens to be one of those that is protected. And so his mother puts him in a little basket, and you're familiar with the story. She makes it waterproof, and she puts it in the river. And as it's going down the river, it gets stuck in some rushes or whatever along the riverbank. And one of the princesses of Egypt hears the baby crying. So she asks a servant to go over. She sees that the baby is beautiful. Moses is adopted by Pharaoh's daughter. Now, God is obviously God. He is supreme. He is ruling and overruling everything that takes place on the earth. It's just like God. Moses ends up being nursed by his own mother and being paid by Pharaoh's daughter to do so. Miriam, Moses' sister, is standing right by because she's watching what's going to happen to little baby Moses. And she goes, "Oh, would you like me to go find a Hebrew nursemaid?" "Yes, that would be a good idea." So she goes and gets the child's mother. As I said, I believe, and most do, that both mothers knew what was going on, but it was good for both of them. And he was an infant at home until he was given to his adoptive mother. So he did get to know his Hebrew family. More about that in a moment. He was raised then as an Egyptian prince with all the rights and privileges and mainly the education that would come along with it. That's pretty amazing. And we'll get to that too some more. Moses was 40 years of age when he killed the Egyptian slave driver and was forced to flee Egypt. Moses acted in his own strength as he had been taught. He was raised as a prince of Egypt. Until he was 40 years old, he was a prince of Egypt. He had rights and privileges beyond anything you or I can imagine. Moses acted in his own strength, and he acted as he was taught. Moses then escapes Egypt because he realizes it's going to get out. And what has happened? He has chosen the Hebrew people over his adopted family and the Egyptians. He's made a choice. So Pharaoh is after his life. Moses loses his princely status, and in essence, Moses loses everything. He's 40 years old. He's forced to flee across the desert that he doesn't really know that much about, and he ends up coming upon a nomadic people, and he is adopted. So his life is spared, and at age 80, Moses is commissioned by God to do something he really does not want to do. More about that. And then at age 120, Moses dies on Mount Nebo in Moab before going into the Promised Land. But he gets to see it, and then the Israelites are going to pass into the Promised Land. If you look at this, there's 40 years, 40 years, and 40 years. I want to look at this timeline in a different way. Moses' life, his timeline, the first 40 years, Moses is prepared. He knows his birth family. He knows of their heritage. Can you imagine? Maybe Moses was in that home till he was 3 to 5 years of age. Think of what a sponge he would have been. And he would have been hearing the different things from the Hebrew culture as a little child. But he would have been told, what a special child you are. You know, you got to live. God protected you. His sister and his big brother are doting over him. His mother and father are telling him, you are chosen by God. Then what happens? He gets taken to the princess of Egypt, and he's raised as a prince of Egypt. He gets all of the benefits, all the privileges, people. He has servants all around him that would do his bidding. He gets the best education that exists on the planet at the time. And then something tells him, I need to do something about this situation, about my own people. They're brutally being used as slaves. And I should do something about it. I should do something about it. Me, Moses, I. He was raised as a prince. Moses, in the next 40 years, is very much humbled. When he took that Egyptian's life, he lost everything. He lost everything that meant anything to him, everything that he knew. Can you imagine what a loss that would be? And why did it happen? He acted as a prince within what he was used to as normal boundaries. He saw an injustice. He tried to rectify that injustice because in his mind, I'm also Hebrew, somebody is beating mercilessly somebody who should not be a slave, and I'm going to mete out justice as I see fit. But as you and I know, we cannot really be used of God until we get out of the way. The me and the I needs to step aside. So what does Moses go through for the next 40 years of his life? Complete humiliation, if you will, in one sense of the word. A complete humbling of who he is and what he is able to do. He was raised to be a prince, and now he's with a nomadic people raising sheep. You talk about loss of status, loss of privilege. He lost it all. Moses loses everything, and for 40 years, he is humbled. Up to age 40, he lives as a prince. From 40 to 80, he lives as a shepherd, separated from all that he knew about Egypt. Egypt is gone. Egypt is out of his mind. He tried to be the deliverer that he thought he was supposed to be, and it didn't work. Instead, he had to run away and be a refugee in a new land. Where was God? What would you think? God, I tried to do this. But again, the big capital I. I tried to do this. I thought that's why you came. That's what my family told me. But you've got me out here in the middle of nowhere, raising sheep. No, Moses. I'm really now giving you the master's class in preparation. You need to be humble. You need to be humble before me. And God appears to him in a burning bush that will not burn up. Moses is not stupid. He's very, very intelligent. He's very, very gifted. He is very educated. And he sees a burning bush that will not burn up. That would catch my attention. And he's told, take off your sandals. This is holy ground. Okay, whatever you say, burning bush, I'll do it. And then God reveals to him who he is. And he says, I am that I am. A name that the Israelites have never heard before. It can also be translated, who I will be. My son, when he studied Hebrew, he said the best translation is, I am the Ising One. I always am. In this moment, in the moments that just passed, and in the moments to come, I am. I am God. I am that I am. Moses then reluctantly obeys his call at age 80. But he does it very reluctantly. If you recall, he says, but Lord, I can't do this. Why in the world would you choose me? Now think about it. He had had this great, wonderful education. He had the power of Egypt at his disposal, and he lost it all. In his mind, humanly speaking, he's nothing. He went from the pinnacle to the pit. He was humbled completely. He doesn't think he can do anything in that era again. In that area of Egypt, he's a wanted fugitive. What's he going to do? Can you understand? Have you ever felt that way? God, I thought I was doing the right thing. I had certain things and gifts you had given me. I had certain prestige, and it's all been stripped away. I can't do anything. I can't do anything right anymore. Why in the world would you ask me to do anything? And yet God reminds him, who made you? And we will deliver my people, for I have seen what they are suffering. God was saying through those plagues, no, you think those are gods. I am God. I am the supreme, almighty being. I am God, Pharaoh. You will do what I say. And I'm going to make all of your silly gods that are nothing look trivial. So everything that every plague represented was a god in Egypt. And by the end of the day, by the time that Passover occurred, guess what? All the people in Egypt respected Moses. All the leaders around Pharaoh respected Moses, and they were scared of him. Because Egypt was devastated. Because of their disobedience, they ended up traveling through the desert for 40 years. Moses' humility and his devotion to God becomes very clear. He does die like any of us will. He dies a man because he was simply a man. But remember, God called him the most humble man to ever walk the earth. That was because of that 40 years. Not the first, the second 40 years. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled. And those that humble themselves will be exalted. The words of Jesus Christ. But Moses protested to God, who am I to appear before Pharaoh? Who am I to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt? God answered, I will be with you. And this is your sign that I am the one who has sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God at this very mountain. On that mountain, Moses received the Ten Commandments. Twice. Moses was God's chosen one at that time. Moses had to be prepared. Moses had to be humbled. And then Moses could do the work God called him to do. A timeline of a life. Fill in the blank. David is prepared. How many years is it going to take? I don't know. David is humbled. It's going to take a real long time. And then David's going to obey. Then we'll die. And you can repeat that process over and over again as we learn the lessons God wants to teach us. But he prepares us, he humbles us, and then hopefully we choose to do his will. Are we doing his will? Then Jesus said to his disciples, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way. Moses thought he was doing the right thing at age 40. He was going to deliver the Hebrew people right then. Hey, he'd been prepared. He'd had the best education. He'd lived as a prince. He knew how to lead people. But he was not humbled. And he was going to do it in his own strength rather than in God's. Now, how many times do we do that ourselves? We want to do something. We think and we are praying about it and we believe it's in the will of God. But then we try to do it and something goes wrong. Well, are we dependent upon God or are we doing it in our own strength? That's the real question. When Moses turned everything over to God, when he had been completely humbled and he didn't feel he had anything to give, God lifted him up and said, Moses, you're going to deliver my people. And he said, and I'm going to go with you. The I am. We'll make it happen. Do we look at life that way? You must give up your own way. Take up your cross and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? Think about that. Don't store up treasures here on earth, where moths eat them and rust destroys them and where thieves break in and steal. Store up treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be also. Your eye is like a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is unhealthy, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is filled with darkness, how deep that darkness is. Now for the church, if we get our eyes off the Lord and our eyes off our real mission to go out and spread the gospel so the church grows bigger, not the building, the church of Jesus Christ, the body, he is the head, we are the body. So that the body grows and we take more people along with us to this great eternal journey that's going to be beyond anything we can comprehend. We take a bunch of people with us, God's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. But we've got to remember that's the mission. That's the mission. No one can serve two masters. For you will hate one and love the other. But if I started to elevate that position or myself, then guess what? The humility's gone, and I'm back in Egypt. Go to your mission field. Speak to your friends and loved ones. Find an opportunity. Pray that God will provide the opportunity. So in your friendship, in your love for them, you can share Jesus Christ.